Anime Lately listeners, we are here, back for another episode of the Anime Lately podcast. I'm your host, Sam the Manga Man, and here are me or my co-host is the Game Master, Ray Apollo, aka Rob the Builder, the one and only Legend Dash Miguel Parra, and the talented JB, not Bieber, but James Barnarns. How are you guys doing? How's the week?
We are here, right? Rob the Builder? From this morning stream on Monday morning, he was building a lot of rocks. Right, Ray?
I don't know who Rob is, but as Ray, I am here. Call me Rob again. Jeez Louise. Hi, I'm great now. Don't stop bullying me.
Guys, bully him in the comments, guys. It's all fun and games.
All right, guys, let's start how we usually start is what have we been watching or what have we been reading lately?
As always, guys, if you have seen the reincarnation of the podcast, I usually go first. So let's go. What I've been watching lately is The Wise Man Grandson that James and Sam put me on. And they put me on because saying that it's a isekai genre. I'm like, cool, cool. I'll watch it since I'm starting to like the genre a lot. And then they said the characters OP, like Slime, was. I'm like, okay, that's pretty cool. Let me check that out. Once I started watching, I really underestimated when they said this character was OP. Because when they said this character's OP, I'm like, okay, he's probably just powerful, just could do a lot of shit. Once I saw the second episode and he could do so much, I'm like, okay, this kid is too powerful. Why the hell is he the main character? He should not be this OP for no goddamn reason. And reading, I've been reading Boruto. I've been hopping on the manga since it's very interesting. And I've been reading again Chainsaw Man. I'm like 6 chapters behind now to be up to date. Can't wait to make a video about this because this manga from Shonen is... It reminds me a lot of Gruesome and Darkness from Tokyo Ghoul. So I'm loving this manga so far.
Okay. James, would you like to go next?
Yeah. So right now I'm watching Demon Slayer. I'm glad that I got in as soon as it began. This anime is absolutely insane. Before we started the podcast, I was saying like, this anime makes me think about how I felt the first time I saw My Hero Academia. This is an MC that I want to follow for a million episodes. This is a story that I want to follow for a million episodes. Like, I can't wait to see where this goes. I'm finally watching The Promised Neverland. I've been sleeping on it, and the story is absolutely incredible. The first episode threw me through a loop, and I did not know what I was getting myself into, and I'm absolutely in love. I'm like you, Miguel. I'm watching Wise Man's Grandchild, thanks to Sam, and this anime is incredible. Now and again, you just need a really, really fun anime with an OP character, and this is it. Like, it's just so much fun to watch. As far as reading goes, I'm reading Dragon Ball Super. I'm trying to stay up with the manga right now with the new arc. And the new villain, Moro, is so fucking cool. Like, he is so different from any villain that the Z Fighters has ever faced that I can't wait to see where this arc goes. And I'm having so much fun.
Like the rest of you, I've also been watching Demon Slayer and I'm totally in love with this anime. I love everything about it. The way it looks, the way it sounds, the way... I was telling you guys earlier before we went on air, the way that this anime is telling its story is so different than any other anime out right now. It's telling a very similar story, but the way that it's phrased and the writing is so good at doing what it does and bringing these characters to life that I'm like, I love these characters in this world that they're building. It is so simple. It's demons versus demon slayers. We've seen it so many times, but it's doing it so differently that I'm like, I want to know what happens next. This relationship between this brother and sister is like, it's so cool. I'm like, he's driven and it's just so good. I love it so much. So I've been watching that. I'm caught up with that one. That's the only anime currently that I'm caught up with. I started Shield Hero recently.
Finally.
I know. My time is slowly becoming mine again. And so I finally get to start doing the stuff that I love. So you're going to hear a lot more from me soon about a lot of more of these things and stuff that you guys were like, oh my God, that was incredible. Like 6 months ago, and you're like 6 weeks. Oh my God, that was amazing. You're like, yeah, Ray, we know.
It's okay, Ray. It's only been 3 months so far. So.
Well, good. It's not that long.
That's true.
Yeah. So that's about what I've been watching and like actually paying attention to. And then reading, I've been reading Bleach again. I started reading the last arc again because I was like, I needed to give this another shot. I needed to give it another shot because when I was reading it before, I was coming off of being kind of salty that it took so long and that we weren't going to get the anime. And so I was like, hey, whatever, man. Taitei, it's like, you'd have let me down, bro. But I'm reading it again and I'm like, no, this is better than I really thought it was. Like reading it from just the perspective of wanting to enjoy it, I'm enjoying it. Go figure, right?
So. That's a pretty interesting tip because when you first said that like a good woman ago, I was like, but it's kind of like the meme, the gif, like, but why? Yeah, but exactly. When you get that good explanation, it makes me feel like the brain is because I didn't finish the last arc because it just threw me off of how felt it rushed, so I just gave up on it. I've been wanting to go back to read it, but when you give the explanation just to enjoy the series, just to read it and take your time on it, it's pretty good now. So maybe one day I'll go back to it as well.
Seriously, I think it's worth it because he created some really interesting characters. While most, like, you know, for Shona, he created some really overpowered characters. Like, but it wasn't just one character. All of the characters he created were overpowered to a point. And I think that's what made Bleach interesting. I don't know. There's some really weird characters, but I like it. I'm enjoying it again. The only reason why I'm rereading it is because it's easy. And because, like, as much as when I go and read My Hero finally, and when I go and read Dragon Ball Super finally, I want to be able to, like, focus on it and actually interpret and understand what I'm reading. But, like, with Bleach, I've read it before, so I can kind of go through it pretty quick. So, soon, boys. Soon. Because the first thing I'm catching up on is My Hero, and I can't wait. And Black Clover. Relax.
That's art going on right now in current shonen. How about you, Sam, the main host here? What have you been reading? Because you read way more than us.
All right. So I'll start with the watching for the animes. I've been watching Wise Man's Grandchild because that's been good and I've been reading it. And I know some great stuff that's going to be happening. So I might be doing a video for that for review because it's actually that good.
Is that on Shonen Jump?
What, Wise Man's Grandchild?
Yeah,
I think so. It should be. If it's not, I'll find you a source to give you to read it.
Sweet, my man.
I'm also watching Why the Hell Are You Here, Sensei? And my!
I mean, I wouldn't go tell everybody I was watching that, but I.
Episode 3 is my favorite right now because that was entertaining. A lot of Popeye is what I've been calling it today, so it's very entertaining. Popeye.
Hey, I mean, Crunchyroll is doing their thing, doing their censorship. So
yeah. I'm mad about it. Sad about it.
I mean, but then let the PG-13 kids let their imagination do the work.
Them. You let them watch Goblin Slayer and it was fine. Nah, give me what I want.
That's a good point. That's true. Very true.
That's a good point. But remember, the thing is with Goblin Slayer, they did camera work, but you heard the sound.
Episode 1?
Episode 1 was a panel going up, but you knew what was happening. The panel went up. Gamers just blocks the whole screen. I'm like, come on, really?
Exactly. Like, for real. Give me something, y'all.
That's like, true. I'll give you that. At least
it's called football season.
At least Why the Hell Are You Here, Sensei? It's more friendly, but more in a comedy kind of etchy kind of thing. So
very true.
Yep.
I've also been rewatching Devil Survivor 2, the animation. I'm actually trying to watch animes that I've watched before in dub because I want to see how well the voice actors and stuff like that and how well it worked. I might actually rewatch Danmachi in dub because I love the anime and sub, and I want to see the dub version in dub before the movie comes out. And season 2 comes out for that in the summer. For manga, I've been reading Boruto. I'm caught up, and that last chapter was really good. Like, I honestly like the manga so much better than the anime right now. Because
I want to ask the question about that.
I heard Kurama did some dope shit because I saw on Twitter the panel. Kurama woke up and finally felt like a panel from Naruto. That's how deep it was. That's how amazing. With like, yo, that's why I'm reading Naruto again, just because I want to see what did Kurama do just to make everybody so hyped for this chapter.
But I won't spoil anything, but it was a great chapter. I love where his manga is going on. I think the difference is that the anime is doing its same old Naruto way with all these filler arcs and filler episodes, and it just looks bad, kiddie-ish almost, compared to...
Jesus, what he did, though, at least Jesus, to know what the Kurama did or something dope about the chapter.
Like, pretty much, when Naruto sleeps, Kurama's awake.
What?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Okay. Yeah.
That is interesting.
So, question for you. Have we hit time skip yet?
Where it's show from that first episode of Boruto? Not yet.
God, that's when I'm gonna start reading it, because that was the coolest looking stuff I'd seen.
No, that just sounded dope. I did not know when Naruto sleeps, Kurama's awake. Okay, now that makes me want to finish reading it by this weekend to talk about it next week in the podcast, because this makes me intrigued now.
It's really good. I've also been reading Food Wars. I've been caught up, and like, wow, I'm drooling every time I'm reading this chapter. The food, man. Like, wow. You're combining five different types of food into a new category of foods. Asian, Chinese dish, Italian dish, Russian dish, five course dish into one completely new kind of dish.
That's intriguing now. That's very fascinating. Five different cultures into one dish. Now, that's very fascinating to see how that tastes. Oh, pretty
I've
cool.
only seen season one. I need to catch up on Food Wars.
Oh, yes, you do.
Yes, you do.
Yes, you
season
do.
Season two is amazing. I did not finish season three, but season two is amazing.
It's something you need to watch while cook at the same time.
That's the only way I watch it. I'm cooking as I'm watching, and I kid you not, because if you're watching it, it makes you want to cook afterwards. So make sure you have plenty of food to cook in the kitchen afterwards.
Definitely true. That's happened to me many times. After I watch it, I go eat again.
I agree, because like each of these kids, they're like each dish can even impress like Gordon Ramsay, like for these kind of foods and stuff like that.
I would like to put that to the test.
You know, it's probably something that we could probably do. All you gotta do is tweet him. Sometimes he'll respond.
Hey, Gordon Ramsay, you interested in anime? I'm pretty sure you'll love Food Wars. You'll be like, what the fuck is going on? But you'll
probably does that please my taste? Does that please my platter?
Oh my god.
Anyway, I've been reading and watching Senryu Sojo. Of course, it's a Sojo manga. It's a right now they have an anime coming out has it out right now. It's like a romance anime where the main character is a girl and pretty much she says everything in a haiku. Like five by seven by five syllables.
Like, just saying, Sam, you do read some weird shit. I just want to say
it's a cute slice of life work. So
we knew that though.
I just want to state that, guys, into the audience, Sam, just for now and future, guys, in case you're new, Sam reads some weird shit.
Hey, at least I know that I could give you suggestions of what's good and what's
very
not.
Very diverse. Too diverse sometimes.
And the suggestions are greatly appreciated.
The good suggestions are real good, let me tell you.
It is.
I promise you, it's good. Can't wait for the summer because there's going to be a lot of good animes I'm going to show you guys.
Too many good ones.
Guys, if you need suggestions for manga to read and anime to watch, hit up Sam. He is the one to talk to.
You will never lose a wrong option.
All right, guys. That seems to be all of our anime watch and manga reads. Let's go straight to our news. First things first.
Let's get it.
Demon Slayer, Kimetsu no Yaiba. The anime is going to be 26 episodes long.
Yes, I'm excited for this because the one thing I really want to see is I want to see the main character. Can I remember his name right now? But damn it.
I can't remember either.
Tojiro?
Yep, Tojiro.
Tojiro, yeah. I can't wait to see him fight with a sword and see what type of skill will he have. Because I feel like he will get the water skill, but I think that's more of the anime opening. But I wonder if that's his actual skill. If that's his actual skill, water, that would be pretty fascinating. I honestly think his skill would be like some type of rock or ice, because since he lived in the forest and with all that snow, so I thought his forearm, his skill would have been like some type of ice or rocks or like earth type of style. But I'm excited to see more of that. But I'm very happy I didn't read the manga, because watching the anime just totally blind really makes the viewing more entertaining.
I agree. And like that same thing happened to me before with Promised Neverland. Watched the anime first and then I read the manga.
Sam almost crying again.
Completely different experience, actually, to watch the anime first and go straight into reading it. We're definitely doing like an anime versus manga for that sort of thing.
That could be good. I mean, or, and this is just me throwing it out there, or James, are you just watching it or have you read it?
I'm just watching it right now, but I am going to read the manga.
Miguel, have you read
Just watch it.
Yeah.
What if we split it and we kind of did actual verses, like watch versus read? And if I read it first and then watch it.
And then
Okay. You've already watched it and read it.
Right? Sure. You and James could do the reading and me and Sam could do the watching.
Well, Sam's already read it.
No, I didn't read it. I didn't.
Okay.
All four of us have not read it. Been watching.
The reason why I want the same experience with The Promised Neverland. Catch me off guard in that situation and got me.
Maybe it could be me versus the three of you. I could read it. And y'all could be watching it. This sounds interesting. Well, stay tuned for that. We'll talk through this.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
Awesome. Sounds good.
Yeah.
But I think the 26 episodes is well deserved. I mean, this is going to be a great anime. The visual effects are amazing. The score is great. The story's great. Like, this is well deserved, and I can't wait to see where it goes from here.
My two cents on this last thought is that I hope with 26 episodes the animation don't stag or fall. Hopefully, it continues on the same pace they're going. Hopefully they don't get lazy in some scenes. If they do, hopefully it's not really noticeable, or it's just not really for a big scene. But hopefully for the big scenes, the big fight scenes, they go all out. But that's my two cents, my hope for them.
You know, sometimes it's a budget thing. It's not always you know.
Right. And that's what I want to, prepare you for that. That's probably going to happen.
Oh, yeah, of course.
You know, because they did these episodes this way to get that 26 episodes.
But like I said, hopefully it's not too noticeable for the stag shots or the still shots for too long.
I agree.
Hopefully it's just, that's what I'm saying.
Well, I'm okay that there's some like small imperfections here and there, because I'm having pretty good hopes for Demon Slayer to have like another 26 episode for like the following year and do the same thing like My Hero Academia does it. Like do like two seasons of the year, and like that way they have like 6 months in between to work on the next 26 and so on and so on.
Yep.
But then there's a good chance that next year the season animation might fall off a little bit, because they only have 6 months to prepare for another 13 to 26 episode kind of thing way.
Hopefully not. Hopefully take the time for this, just like because hopefully they take their sweet time, not rush it, because for example, The Promised Neverland comes next year, but they have 12 episodes. They knew what they wanted, and hopefully six like that. Take your time. Don't rush it. It's not pressure. It's just like for some shows, it's just like Damachi. Came out 3 years after for season two. So hopefully it's the same thing.
Well, it was a little different from Danmachi, because no one really expected to have another season or to even have the movie for it. It just somehow, like, the manga itself got popular, and then it got so popular that the anime for season two got renewed. And not only that, gave them another movie for it as well.
Good point.
It could also be the sales from the manga as well for it. And the reason why it's most likely Demon Slayer can get it is because they're under Shonen Jump. They have really good backing. They have really popular, like other popular animes that they're still going on and on and on. And there's no way that Demon Slayer, there's a good chance that Demon Slayer could be within the next big three of Shonen Jump animes, mangas and stuff.
I'm calling it right now. It will be.
And if it doesn't, I mean, that's weird, because they've put a lot of work into this. Like James was saying, everything is top tier. Everything about it is top tier, so it deserves it. So
Agreed.
All right, on to our next news. One Piece World Secret Game is going to get its first DLC, and it's playing as Zoro.
Ray, since you finished the game and been playing it more than us, and I can't really give thoughts, since I'm only like 1/4 in for the stream of One Piece World Secret. So since you actually finished it, what's your thoughts on the game? Give you a quick review, and talk about it if you're excited for Zoro.
So I'll keep it pretty short. One Piece World Seeker is a great game for One Piece fans, like hardcore One Piece fans. If you love One Piece, play One Piece World Seeker. As simple as that. It's a great adventure with Luffy I think it's completely removed from the main canon, but it's got so much in it that it's like you wouldn't even know the difference. I mean, the controls are all right. I mean, like, this game is not the best game in the world. It's not as good as some of the other One Piece games from the experience that I've had with those, because I've played some other ones. But this is a step in the right direction, and hopefully the next one will be that much better, because the name is One Piece World Seeker, but the world of this game is kind of boring. There's not a lot in it. There's not a lot to do outside of the main story quests and like the little side quests that aren't technically side quests because you have to do them to progress. So
I do agree with the statement. It should have not been named World Seeker, since you cannot really go on a boat and go to different islands. So I do
good marketing though.
Makes it is good. It, exactly. It's good marketing, but it's open world, but that's it. It's just open world. It's not open world exploration.
For me, I played other One Piece games, and I agreed that for me, I disagree on that part where this is my favorite One Piece game.
This is your favorite one? See, the reason why I don't say that is because I find the core strength of One Piece as a series is all the different characters, and you can only play as Luffy in this game.
Okay, and I do agree on that part.
I feel like it takes away from it as a One Piece game, because I like One Piece because of all of the different characters and how different they all are. Mm-hmm. And all their abilities are completely different, and that makes it fun to play as, you know, because you have a swordsman, you have essentially a gunner, you have kind of a berserker. Like, there's so many different types of characters, but this one is only Luffy, and I'm like,
I agree on that.
Luffy's awesome, but it's like, I want it so much more.
So as someone who has never seen the One Piece anime or read the manga, what would you say to someone that wants to play the game?
You're going to be very lost.
Yep, don't do it.
You're going to be very lost. As me as a One Piece fan, as you can see from the hat, the big logo on the back, and also the hat and everything, and the big giant stick, I'll be honest, you should not play it. You should at least watch the first three arcs of One Piece, and then once you get the chance, play or first actually play Burning Blood. Play One Piece.
Play that, but then...
Is that open world too?
No, that's a single player campaign.
Okay. Yeah.
Player campaign that's level based, but as a person who did that, who hadn't watched a whole lot of the show, I've watched some of the show, not a lot.
Yeah,
this made me want to watch more of the show, so that was a plus from it. It made me want to watch more. So if you do want to jump into it, don't jump into it at full price. Do not buy this game for $60. Okay. I'm sorry, okay. Bandai, but like, wait for the sale.
I do agree on that. Me playing 1/4 of the game, have not reached half yet. I have enjoyed it. I do agree that it could have been better. I do say that I agree on your point where you said Luffy is the only character to play outside, because once you play for like good 3 hours of playing the game, kind of gets boring playing as Luffy for so long. I'm like, hey, I want to switch out Zoro for a while. Same
stuff over and over.
Like the same moves, go. Like me, I love One Piece, but I'd rather switch characters. Like, hey, can I switch as Franky? Can I switch as Usopp, snipe a bit? Or can I play as Sanji, you know, do the black foot, fire and everything? I would love to do that instead. But
so with the DLC, can you play as Zoro? Like, so
play
as
the DLC, Luffy? You can play as Zoro, but guess what? You have to pay for it.
Yeah.
And I don't like that. You're locking whole other character behind DLC.
And it's, if I'm correct, it's just for 3 missions.
I don't like that.
So, but hopefully it's cheap. Like, $5, cool. But if it's $20 for a whole DLC just for 3 missions, like, that doesn't really support that fund. Just for Zoro for 3 missions.
So, is it just Zoro? Or do you get, like,
There are more DLC. There is more DLC coming. I'm assuming it'll be more of the crew that you get to play as.
Yes, it's because they announced it first DLC.
Yeah, it's just Zoro right now.
Okay.
I don't know. So, like, this game is a fun game. But as a person who didn't have a whole lot of familiarity with One Piece, I found myself like, oh, well, who's that guy? And why does he do that thing? And where are these people going? And why does this even matter? That happened a lot.
That's very true, because I did help out Ray in the stream saying, really, who's this person, who that person. But, okay, you know what the story, guys. So
the worst part is, though, so all the stuff that from the actual One Piece canon, those characters are super awesome and really cool, and you wish that you had way more of them. But the people who are just in the game are boring.
I agree with his statement as well, right there.
Characters that they have just for the game are terrible. I was like, I found myself was like, no, bring back those characters that I know from the anime. Bring those back, because they're actually interesting.
I agree with you there. Oda could have improved the story of World Seeker, but the movie of One Piece that comes out this year, I'm more excited about that.
One Piece World Seeker. If I had to give it a letter grade, it gets
B plus.
Nope,
this is a solid B minus. You know, that's not bad.
C minus.
Ooh,
yep. C minus.
I mean, that's still passing.
It is still passing.
Barely. Yeah, I think it's passing. But barely. Thank you, Jen. I'm like, barely.
Hey, C's get degrees.
Good point.
But then, like, even Game Informers give it an 8 out of 10 for the game itself. And
well, I mean, if a fan reviewed the game, completely understand.
Of course.
That's what I'm saying. If you're a One Piece fan, this game is for you.
Me as a fan, I would give it a B plus because I know the characters and everything. I've enjoyed it, but I do agree with every point that Ray said and is valid, every point you said. But as a fan, I would give it a B plus. Definitely not an A, B plus. So definitely 20 points higher if you want to go in math terms. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I definitely agree with the whole marketing thing. They should have named it like One Piece Island Seeker or something.
No, Prison Island.
Technically, like City Seeker.
Prison Island would have been good because that's what it is.
Yeah, it's literally Prison Island. They could have called it One Piece Prison Island. They'd be like, oh, what's the prison? Where's the island?
One Piece Quest for the Dinostones, but you don't even really get to do that. So whatever, yeah.
I can see that because this is like, because the map is not as big as we want it to be. And if anything, it's close maybe to like Batman's Arkham City almost. Like the area to explore, man, and stuff.
It reminded me how much better of a game Batman Arkham City was than this game.
Sam, do not prove his point now, okay?
Hey, you know I beat all three. I played all three series of the Batman Arkham games.
But
I don't know
them all. You can tell this game took a lot of inspiration from the Batman games. They did try.
Definitely. Spider-Man. So did Spider-Man.
Well, I mean, they emulated one of the best character open world games there is in the Batman series.
Every time I use observation hacking, reminding so much of the Batman.
Because that's where that came from.
Detective mode, yeah.
Detective mode is really so dope. But wait, oh, sorry, it's called observation hacking, which you cannot really technically do like this in the anime.
And at least detective mode, you can leave it on as long as you want it anytime you want.
We can get into the nitty gritty about mechanics and how bad they were, but I don't want to do that.
That really bothered me. It literally was for 10 seconds. Like, wait. I need it longer because I want to know, is that guy still there? I need it longer. What the fuck?
And let's not get started on how every enemy has pin-perfect accuracy. They can hit the shooters, you with any angle from any distance wherever you are. Does not matter.
Yo, I do want to point this out again.
I would have rather them been like half Stormtrooper. Good God, they were all Hawkeye. All of them are Hawkeye.
They are, though. The way they shoot, I could die so quickly. Like, I didn't die as fast like I did in Spider-Man when I first played. But One Piece, I died a couple of times. And I'm like, yo, these troopers, they should go to Star Wars because they're better than Stormtroopers. Like, so Stormtroopers, go switch to One Piece because I need you to miss.
So what are you guys saying is these guys can shoot like they are Call of Duty veteran mode.
Yes. 100%.
Yes. 100%. They don't
1,000%.
Miss.
They don't miss. They get you.
That makes it challenging. That would be interesting.
I mean, it was more annoying than it was challenging.
Agreed. Well, I guess if you're playing it for a long time, I guess.
I could be flying across the map and then all of a sudden, pop, pop. I'm like, who shot me? And it was a dude like six buildings away. I don't know. Like I said, I had fun. It's just that some parts dragged and I was like, oh. I'm still playing this game. Okay.
Let's transition here because we were cutting too much ass in good pros and cons for One Piece World Seeker. One of the top three creators of the Big Shonen Jump, who were they, Sam?
Well, one of them is Masashi Kishimoto or Akira Okubo. If you don't know who they are,
the creator of Naruto!
These guys made our childhood. Anime manga childhood. Yes, the
creator, fire, my ninja way.
The creator of Naruto is setting out a preview of its new work, New Samurai 8 manga, on April 27. Honestly, there are some people who are very excited. One or two people feel like, is this like a reboot of Samurai 7?
And a lot of people are cutting and saying, so what happened to the Samurai 1 through 7? Why didn't he use those numbers? So I'm like, guys, it's not your manga, so shut the F up.
I mean, in the Naruto series, we've seen samurais, and like they were okay. They were pretty cool, but we would still stick with the ninjas. But now you're going from ninjas to samurais now.
And also, it's robotic. And what I love about this, in one of the interviews with the creator, Kishimoto, he said that this is what he wanted to originally make before Naruto ended, or before he started Naruto. And I'm very happy now that he has the kind of backup to make this series that he wanted to actually make a long time ago. Now that he has the chance to do it, hopefully it's a better story, a better thought out. Because as much as I love Naruto, my childhood and everything, but I know that he has flaws. So I'm very excited to see Samurai 8, and hopefully it's very better developed, and we don't see cliche tropes. So I'm very curious about that. And the design looks very interesting with him having like a robotic samurai style. So I'm really curious about this.
Oh, so you mean Sekiro? Oh, okay. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The stream that you die many times.
I mean, that's what that game is for.
I am stoked about this manga.
Like, it looks so good.
This has everything that I want. Samurais and cyborgs. Like, I am so ready for this. Like, seeing samurais with cybernetic enhancements. Like, I need to see this shit right now.
It takes samurai, and if they literally take samurai and cyborg 009 and combine it, it's perfect for me. Perfect.
Have not seen 00, so I don't understand. Ooh,
I need you to watch Cyborg 009 so bad.
I've only seen the old series. I haven't seen the remake.
Oh, I need you to watch that too. So this is something I've seen that you guys haven't seen, and that's amazing. I need you to watch this.
Sam, have you seen it?
No.
Oh,
sorry.
Wow. Oh yes.
Okay.
Yeah, first time, guys, that Ray actually seen something that all three of us haven't.
This is momentous. I really need you guys to watch Cyborg 009. It's so much fun. It's so good. And the animation, you know how you love good animation? They got it.
All right. Cool. I'm going to add it to my list. Cool.
Well, I mean, like, we've seen samurais who are good with the sword, or if they have prosthetics, and they can be really good even with prosthetic body. If you watch Dororo.
Dororo, definitely. Yeah. He's definitely a samurai. Very feudal Japan style. So definitely a good take. Hopefully is like it, because Dororo, definitely, right, you should be watching as well after Chihiro.
But yeah, definitely, it is interesting to see cybernetic enhancement. It's like having almost Alita into a Naruto world kind of thing.
Good reference.
But Homeboy, I'm hoping the world is like the cyberpunk kind of thing as well.
That would be lit.
That'd be interesting. Very dark and gritty, but also tries to be very optimistic. That'd be interesting.
Yeah, like that's something to go in for, and hopefully the plot is very, very good. Like, or else have something related to Naruto. Say, I want to be the next Hokage.
No, honestly, I'm hopefully not. Hopefully, we don't get that, because as much as I love that, and it's so, and it's such a meme, but I don't want that. I'm good.
Believe it.
Believe it. It's my ninja way, guys.
I still can't get over that.
All right. The tagline is, I doubt it.
I want to be the next samurai king. I want to be the next samurai lord in his land.
I doubt it.
All right, guys. Ooh, that was funny.
All right, let's move on to the next news. Violet Evergarden is getting a movie in January, and it looks amazing.
All right. Of course I know nothing about this, so break it down for me.
Wait. Hold up. James, you have not seen the anime either?
I know nothing about this.
Okay, Ray, you Netflix, have?
Add it to your list.
Ray, okay. You have, right?
I have Netflix. Not finished it, but I've started watching it, yes.
It's on Netflix.
It's definitely on Netflix. When people like in YouTube comment, like to call me Cuban and heartless, which, guys, I'm not Cuban. I'm not a robot. I'm not heartless. I don't think so. I have a heart. I'm not a tin man.
Sounds like something a robot would say. Whatever.
Right?
You should be watching Violet Evergarden, because I did cry once. Like a tear, like one tear went down. So it's very
So what's the story about?
All right, the premise is this. A woman has gone to war at the age of 8 and 7. All she knows about is war. She lost her arms. That's the first episode. Once the war ended, she has to get back into society. And in society, there's no type of person that knows how to write or read very well. So she has to write people letters when she's told what to write. So that's her job, is to write messages and send them. But write is so emotional and very good to get the message across. And she has to get back into society to know how to have emotions again and to accept reality that you're back into the real life. There's no more war. There's no more nothing. You have to understand what are emotions again, what is life, and understand how to work with others instead of killing others. It's no more killing, stuff like that. So that's really the concept that you get from the first two episodes, really.
Yeah, okay. It's the return home story of a soldier who has PTSD and has experienced all this trauma. And yeah, really trying to fit back into civilian life where civilian life doesn't want them to fit. And it is sad.
But the animation is gorgeous.
I believe it won Crunchyroll's Animation of the Year award.
It did.
All right.
So pretty. So, yeah.
Yeah, like, it's like she's literally like a robot in a way. All she knows is war. She has no other feelings.
Robot, guys.
She only knows how to take commands. That's all she knows how to do.
Mm-hmm. And like now she has to literally learn at like a pretty like teenage age or like an older age in that sort of way. She literally is full on robot. Like even writing a letter seems so simple, so easy. Like what you say, like I want a whole heart letter kind of thing. She'll give you one vague sentence like, yep, I'm like this. He just likes you like this. And pretty much throughout the episode, she learns to understand emotions and feelings and that sort of way. You're going from robot to a human with a heart kind of thing.
Okay.
Coming from Miguel's example of I'm a robot. But yeah. It's a little slow in the beginning. Like the first four episodes, it's going to be hard to get through. But once you get through the four, you're going to have good stories where it just, oh man, so emotional. The
few episodes, they want you to focus on the animation and they don't really tell you that because they can't. But focus on the animation and that's what gets you through it.
He's totally right because they really play with the camera work. They really play with the cutscenes and the animation and close-up shots. What Ray said that I just realized Ray has a total point because I just realized we're like, wait, Ray is totally making a point there.
They literally just want you to watch it and take it in. It's like, you know, there's also a story, but they'll give you a lot more story later on, but they're trying to impress the hell out of you with their style. So, yeah.
And it works. And it definitely works. And I'm so glad that we're getting a movie now for this. And this is fantastic. And actually, we're also getting another side episode for it before the movie. So, can't wait for that.
Okay.
So
I'm really excited for
that. Cool. All right, guys. This is going to be a very, very big news. It's a little bit more sensitive, but we'll see how it goes when we answer this. Vic Magnolia sues Funimation, Jamie Marchi, Monica Rao, and Ronald Toy.
So, would you guys mind if I start off on this one?
Go ahead. Get it off, James, with us.
So, honestly, I don't blame Funimation for letting him go.
Of course.
Because, I mean, in the era that we're in right now, you cannot take chances like this. These are the types of things that can ruin your company. So, I get their decision to let him go. But he also has the right to sue them because, I mean, it's just allegations. Like, if we don't know what happens. This is all alleged stuff. We don't know what's the truth. Mm-hmm. But I mean, from his perspective, he has a right. And I believe Funimation has a right to let him go. Because I mean, again, like in this Me Too era, you cannot take a chance. The Weinstein Company is done. It's over. Mm-hmm. You know, a production studio that has made films for decades, it's gone. Mm-hmm. You cannot take these chances. So, I mean, it's a tough situation. And I can't wait till we get more news on this to find out what's right and what's actually been going on, but I don't blame them for letting him go. I think it's the right decision.
I do agree with you. It's just the way it happened was ugly. It could have been done so much better. And the way Funimation and the company has been doing this is not the best and is not the most prettiest because what Disney did with James Gunn mm-hmm. was handled better professionally. And look, 6-8 months after, they hired him back. But they did it in not the best way.
I mean, the thing with James Gunn, I think that was very ugly. And
yeah, very ugly. But they could have done it better. But the way Funimation is doing it, I think, is more ugly because they're doing things much behind the back where they are taking Vic's name credit away from what he did with Broly and other stuff. So to me, that's stuff that shouldn't have been done. Like,
which is wrong.
Yeah, like if you're gonna fire him, cool, fire him. But don't take his credit from the work he did over the years. And what sucks more is that this happened literally 2 weeks after from the Broly premiere in the US in January. So that's what happened. Like that's like the dude celebrated 2 weeks tops. And then after all this got spilled, months later he got fired from RWBY. No, sorry, Rooster Teeth.
Rooster Teeth.
And all that happening is just all ugly and also happening on social media. I'm like, guys, handle this in the courtroom. Handle this behind the scenes. Handle this on your own. But you don't need the whole fan base to be playing lawyers. You don't need the whole YouTubers trying to play lawyer, trying to back you. Like, it's cool and everything for us to do the news and everything. But at the end of the day, we're not lawyers. We don't have the degrees and everything. And at the end of the day, that's business stuff. You guys handle that on the business table behind the scenes. And that, to me, it's cool to know the news, but at the end of the day, that's your business. Do it behind the table, do it in the courtroom and everything.
So to a point, I agree and I disagree with you, because the way both of those companies handled it, this hasn't been done before. As people watching, it's like, oh yeah, I could be like, yeah, you should have handled that so different. How the fuck would you have handled it? How do we know? You know what I'm saying? It's one of those things where Disney handled theirs a certain way because Disney is an American company. This is one of those things where in the Me Too movement, James Gunn said some real.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, well, hey, that sucks. But yeah, I could understand why they did that. Vic, this thing, Japanese company. They deal with things very differently. The parent company is Sony Pictures. Parent company, Japanese, very Japanese. I don't know if you know anything about the Judgment case. Judgment is a PS4 game that's coming out soon. The main voice actor, got caught using cocaine, admitted to using cocaine. You know what they did? They took him out of the game, recast him, put a whole different voice in the game, and the game was done. Japan don't play.
That's their right. Play.
That's the thing right. That I want to add.
And Funimation, it was their right to take all of Vic out of everything. If they were like, hey, you were a scumbag who did what? And
the difference is, though, Ray, they had proof that that guy was doing cocaine. But we don't know.
He admitted it. But what I'm saying is this is more of the culture thing.
Yeah.
So while it's like, we don't even know if it was true or not. Yeah, we didn't know. But like James, you said, you can't take those chances right now.
Agree.
Yeah.
But the company of Funimation is US-based in Texas.
It's US-based, but their parent organizations.
It's Sony. Sony.
Sony. Yeah, it's Japanese still.
And plus, also, there's a fear now that Funimation might lose the rights of Dragon Ball and One Piece because Toy Animation is not happy of how Toy Animation is the one that licensed this whole thing. Is not happy of how everything of this mess is going public. Like, there's a rumor. Like I said, who knows what might happen?
Japan is protective of their very popular IPs.
Yeah.
Very popular IPs. They don't like it when bad things happen to them because they care about them so much.
Yeah. Toy is not happy.
This is a PR mess because exactly. The stuff that I've been seeing on Twitter
is not cute.
The PR department should have been, hey, we should not be talking about this on Twitter. Nope. This should not be out for everyone to see. Like, nope. The news is already out, but you should not be talking
about this. They should have wrapped it up and said, hey, this is, you're under an NDA. You're like, don't talk about it. This is a lawsuit. Don't talk about this.
Thank you.
So it was more the people than it was the company, but also the company had a responsibility that they didn't handle, at least from my perspective in PR and communication.
I do want to say.
Because even with, sorry, Miguel, but even with Disney, even if they weren't going to bring back James Gunn, he was still going to get writing credit for the script.
Yes, he was. Because he wrote
the script. So I think Vic should not have been taking off for the credit that he put in this movie.
I don't think he should have either. But like I said, you also said it was within their right to do that. I don't think it was a good move because it made it seem like they really didn't care about him at all as a person, which is cool. I feel like he has every right to sue them because
I don't want to say what happened with James Gunn. Once that happened, he was off Twitter for almost 8 months. He was off Twitter, off social media. With what happened with this lawsuit and everything going on, the voice actor, Monica, the voice actors that are getting sued should have been off Twitter as well. They should have not made it worse because them answering fans, them doing say and plus adding more to the drama, other people adding more is making your case more technically win for Vic. But you talking more on social media?
Because the thing is, with them talking up their side, like they also had their fans who also like, yeah, you know, but they were inciting this infighting. They were instigating to pressure the company more to do more. And I'm like, don't do that. But you know, their people are different and they handle situations like this very differently. And you can see that they did not handle it what I would consider well. So they did not do well with this.
Well, like when this first all started, when the whole accusation came in and so many people also stand up and was like saying like Vic did this to me too in that sort of way. At first some people who've known about Vic, it was a little bit of not surprise because there were some people from Riddick that actually confessed saying like he was kind of a creep a little bit because there are fans. Vic can be a little friendly, like too friendly with people and his fans. Like he could just hug people out of nowhere, handshake them or anything like that. And that includes people that don't want to be touched at all. Like, and that makes sense because there are even famous people who don't like to be touched or anything at all. And when they do, they usually have like a lawsuit on that or like some kind of experience or bad things about that. But that was like years back, and Vic, nobody really said anything with Vic Magnolia being a creep that sort of way in public and for real, out loud. And the moment once these allegations came out, it just made things, well, first it was split because there were people that didn't know if they want to stand with Vic or like not being like, or just like let it be as it be without anybody saying anything and let it hide underneath and like have it covered in government and lawsuit, let that be handled. But that point, at that point, fans would still be conflicted and confused if they still wanted to side with Vic. But the thing was that with the whole Twitter business and the whole other sort of way, Monica Wright, she made this much worse for herself, for Funimation, and for Rooster Teeth and everything. With, yeah, like she put out these what she said, what Vic did to her, allegations. We can't know for sure it's true, but we can't say it's not true either, especially when we're in a sensitive world where the Me Too movement is on there, and we have to be careful for every single little thing. But then again, she doesn't have the real proof or anything that backs her up. And the only thing that was true, only thing that had for proof was just an old video of Vic hugging her, and it just ends right there. Nothing more, nothing less. And that's not something that isn't like a sexual harassment kind of thing or something that's inappropriate, that sort of way. But the problem with what they did with Twitter, that they really should have like stopped Monica Reed and everybody like that, because with the whole, he did this to me, did that to me, did this to me. Because there were some people that were fake allegations and they got in trouble for it.
Oh,
and
yeah.
All that's helping is Vic. For Monica Reed, she's just kept complaining. And with this whole news about Vic being this person, like being that kind of person, all the conventions prevented him from even coming near, for letting him guest into their convention.
And that's what sucks, that he did technically lose his job. Technically, like in all terms, that's his only job is to voice act, and he technically lost and got fired in every company they work for and can't even go meet his fans in conventions of what you just said, Sam.
And like the only convention that allowed him to go in was the Hawaii convention, the Kamehameha Con. And because the reason why they allowed him, because this island was made to like for Dragon Ball, and they love Dragon Ball, and that includes Vic Magnolia themselves.
So, I mean, with this thing is basically a lot of people finally decided to stand up and say, hey, Vic has been kind of a shitty person.
Yeah.
And he's not happy that, you know, these people decided to air their dirty laundry with him publicly. Mm-hmm. And while, yeah, it's like, hey, if you're a shitty person, you're a shitty person, and you're going to get yours eventually. And for me, it's kind of hard to be like, well, maybe he's not a shitty person. These people just really want to see him go down.
If he's guilty, fuck him. But I'm just saying, like, this stuff on Twitter, like, it shouldn't go to this level until there's actual facts.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, if he's a scumbag and like the stuff that happened is true, yeah, hey, fuck this guy for real. Like, don't be a decent human being. But if these people are like really just blowing these allegations out of proportion and making stuff up just to ruin this guy's career, wow.
And what's sad? Wow. What's sad is his own coworkers, that he has worked with.
And so it's like, come on now. So like this, the lawsuit, and from stuff that I read is really risky. Because if he loses everything. Nobody's going to hire him. And it comes to like that, yeah, he is the person. He ain't going to never work in this industry again. Because, If he wins, it'll be fine. It's just like it kind of clears his name from being the super creep that he was. Doesn't mean he wasn't a creep at all.
Agree.
Clear from being like just a super terrible creep.
Yeah.
So it's a shitty situation both ways.
I'm just curious.
I don't think Vic is that much of a shitty person. At least when he went onto Twitter and he says he apologized if he was ever that kind of creep, and he's sorry that he was ever that kind of inappropriate for some people. And he actually went to seek rehab. He went to seek help for this issue. It's better than having some guy like say, I did not do this. I did not have an angry rant and like, all that sort of way, and have all these real proof that comes out. And then it turns out he was a real shitty person, and all he's trying to do is trying to say it wasn't him and stuff like that. But even if he didn't really fully admit that he did do these stuff and if he was this kind of inappropriate, but he at least seeks help. Like he,
which is good. Like, I mean, I guess to a point I appreciate, but it doesn't take away from what he did if he did it. You know what I'm saying?
True. For me, I'm curious to see how this lawsuit continues for the next month or two and how to see both sides takes it, the county of Texas takes it between versus Vic. Curious to see how that goes the next month or two, see what's the outcome and how does that go. Hopefully, it only tells what's happening during the court. Hopefully, it tells after what's the final decision, because I don't want to know what's during happening. I want to know what happens after. So hopefully, nothing comes out. Hopefully it's done privately and everything, not through social media. Hopefully the PR, like James said, hopefully it's done much better.
Like, what's funny was that a few days before Vic Magnolia starts that lawsuit, Monica Reed actually on Twitter literally said, I just got off the phone with Sony and now they are involved into this like lawsuit and dispute. And that's really bad. It makes your own parent company look so bad. And it's an embarrassment because Funimation, you're supposed to be able, you're a company, you're supposed to handle these situations and problems by yourself within the company. You shouldn't be seeking your own parent.
You would think so, but there's a lot of companies that still don't understand how to and don't have the education on how to handle sexual harassment cases. It's
this
a
is
really
why you have PR departments. They're the specialists that take care of this stuff.
But it also sounds like they don't have one internal, and if they do, it's not a very knowledgeable one.
Fire them, and they'll be hiring new people. That's it. Straight simple.
I don't know. Like you would think it's that easy, but it's not.
I know.
It's complicated. It's really complicated.
All right, guys. Let's move on to the next one. Madhouse production assistant says he's worked 393 hours in 1 month. So I'm gonna give you guys a little bit of the backstory of what's been going on. An assistant from Madhouse pretty much almost dropped dead in the work company because they've been overworked. They've been doing so much overtime into this company that he literally fainted and almost nearly died because of it. And now he's suing Madhouse for all the overtime pay that they never paid him for and an apology from them.
This is why labor laws exist. I don't know how this happened.
Well, this is in Japan. All in Japan.
They don't have labor laws, James.
I think it's the overtime laws that are different.
Yes. Okay. So like for more information from it was that apparently the contract and production company in Madhouse, they only allow 50 hours of overtime pay, but anything afterwards, you don't get paid for it. And clearly this guy has worked many hours afterwards and didn't get paid for his lawsuit and stuff like that.
So I did a little bit of math, and this could be wrong because I'm terrible at math. That's 13 hours a day.
And that's every day.
That's every day of the week for 30 days.
It's 720. There's 720 hours in a month. He literally did more about a month, half of work. He literally worked for literally 15 days almost, if you want to just do, you know, math as well. 15 days out of a month of 30.
What's crazy is that when he fainted and got sick, the company said, okay, just take the day off the next, take this day off, but the next day come back to work.
Oh my God.
They could even say, hey, take a week or take a 3-day
weekend.
That's
the joke. It's like, oh, hey, you know, there's a snowstorm. My car exploded and, you know, everybody in my building's dead. Hey, you still coming to work, right?
Like that's the thing about like Japanese companies, because there's a such thing as called the Black Company Union, and what they do is they make their workers work overtime, usually times where they have to stay overnight through the company. Like they can sleep within the company but then continue work right a couple hours afterwards and like work hard into these animation and stuff like that. This is actually what they call a death march in Japan. Like
that don't sound a good name, Sam.
It's not
brutal.
Ugh. A death march is literally you're spending a good whole entire week, 24/7, working until like you get this project done, and once you have that done, you finally have like a day break. But the next day you come back to work.
A day break, my guy.
That's it. Yeah,
I'd rather do a walk of shame every day. Just saying.
What's insane is that these workers like they eat and sleep in the office, and the only time that they go home is just to shower and Yeah, that's how bad it was.
Y'all can't even put a shower in the building if y'all treating people like this.
I mean, that's yeah, for sure. Have like a locker room or something. Like
if y'all gonna treat people like shit, at least do it in a nice place.
or at least have a hotel across the street for them, so they could just go over, sleep over, and then have a nice bed for a 3-hour nap, and then come back to work.
I work for a company literally like that. I would fly out to the main headquarters. I would go work. They expect you to work longer hours since you're out there. That's because there's a hotel literally across the street. You can go sleep for a little bit, come back to work, and do more work.
Okay, see, that sounds fine.
Take Ray advice. Do that. Build a hotel across every animation studio. That's it, guys. Right there.
It still sucked, by the way.
It's still bad.
I feel like this is unacceptable.
Like because of this overwork, like. People were diagnosed with cryogenic reaction, which is it affects your neurological disorder. It's a disease that affects nervous systems. It can't be explained by a neurological disease or other medical conditions. However, the symptoms are real and cause significant distress or problems functioning. A cryogenic reaction can cause a person to be unable to walk, swallow, see, or hear. The reaction can vary in severity, but cannot be controlled by the affected person. Jeez. I mean, I've seen my share of overworked people, and I know that being overworked can kill you. You can literally be dead on the spot because of overworking, and
that's exhaustion.
Like your body just quit on you completely, and you're done.
I have heard of overwork. I've done it. I have seen, like, I give props to James of how much he overworks because he has two jobs, you know, careful for spoilers, and his day job, and how much he edits and everything. I give props to my guy because he overworks.
I need more sleep. And I can't imagine what this guy had to go through.
But thank you. That's what I was going to lead to. I know these people on this panel overworks, but to hear this guy go, what he went through, that's called overwork to your dead.
But then, there's one part where it says, like, production assistants, especially when working on a TV series, tend to work over 100 to 200 hours a month. So, like, about...
They don't get paid 100 to 200 hours a month money.
No, they don't.
Which
and is like, bullshit.
And subcontracting studios, they don't even have time cards for people to log their hours in that sort of way.
I wouldn't even accept that job. Like, guys, I appreciate the offer. That sounds good, but thank you.
I want all of these... like creative, like TV, video games, unionize, please. I don't care what it's gonna take. Like, unionize, because I just want it so bad. And people are like, oh, it's gonna ruin it. Nope, take care of the people first. Unionize,
yeah, definitely. But okay, since we're on this topic, since this is from Madhouse Company, technically this company also did other animes like One Punch Man season one, the first one, and I know it's not the same. I know the new season of season two is not by Madhouse, but then again, I've said this before in my videos that the animation is not as bad, but I'm okay taking this kind of animation style than over someone who's been working overworked and underpaid in a harsh environment, that sort of way in Madhouse. Then like, I'd rather have like a, okay, good animation, good story from One Punch Man now than a full on great animation from the first season, but from what we don't know, probably there was like a lot of people who was understressed, underpaid, maybe some people like suicide because of this, and because this pressure really is horrible. Like, this working condition is so bad that it gives you a second look of, you know what, I had to, considering what these workers has been going through, what they have to go through currently right now in their work job and that sort of way, I can watch this entire series just for them, because they put in the time and work for this, regardless if they still put in within 100 to 200 hours of work time. So yeah,
I get deadlines, but I mean, that's ridiculous, man.
This is not a joke. This is pretty crazy. Hopefully now people would kind of understand. They could say, okay, it's not bad for One Punch Man, so we can watch it. So let's so hopefully there is a better union for Japan.
It makes me feel bad that there are this isn't the probably the only place that does this. This is not the only company that has conditions like this, I bet. And you know, we enjoy all this stuff, but there are people who are literally working themselves to death to make sure that we get them, and I'm
hopefully this raises awareness.
I hope so. I really hope that this really raises some awareness and that maybe something changes. You know, it just it sucks.
Funny, what's crazy is that people think that he's trying to destroy Madhouse, but no, he's not trying to destroy Madhouse. He's just getting compensated. He wants compensation of what he's owed, and he just wants an apology.
As you should
and
be.
I realized, hey, I almost died working for this company, and they didn't give a shit, so they're going to pay me. You know?
And they should. No, they should. Yeah.
When you almost die, it makes you realize something. Let me tell you. I know from experience.
It's not fun when you're like really stressed in an office. It's really not fun. It's insane.
And then you almost die on top of that. Oh no, that's a bad time.
And then of course you're going to have the same regular people with office, who works in office. You get to deal with depression. You might have to deal with alcoholism or like drugs in that sort of way. And it's not worth it, guys. It's very not worth it to continue on to something you don't enjoy or really hate to do every single time.
Ooh, let me tell you. Yeah, don't do that.
It's not fun.
Yeah, it's not fun.
Okay. All right. Let's move. We could do like one or two questions for this podcast. Since we're like an hour in right now. So we could just like squeeze one or two more questions and we can end the podcast from there.
Sounds good. So take it with the first question, Sam.
All right. First question. This is from Jacob Martin.
Where?
From No Anime, No Life on Facebook.
Join the group, guys.
Okay, his first question. Who is best girl all time for y'all?
Oh, man. So I have two, and it's always a toss-up between Rhea's Grimory and Mikasa Ackerman. But Rhea's, man, I have to go with Rhea's. I love Rhea's so much. She is my waifu. All
right, cool, Ray.
So I'm also gonna cheat. Either Rin Tosaka or this is hard because there's like five in my head.
Right. While you think of those, I'm going to say my three since I have them ready.
Oh, you got three? Good God.
All right, I'm going to go. James know this. Sam know this. Rhea's Grimoire.
Of course.
Asuna from Sword Art Online.
I knew that.
I knew that, of course.
And three, my third one, Hinata from Naruto.
Oh, okay. My God. What a nerd.
That's my three. So if Ray is not ready, take away Sam if you have yours.
Oh, I'm still going through it.
First would be like you guys, Rhea's from High School DxD. Yo, I mean, yo, she's sexy, has good opi.
She's mine.
And she's strong. She's a great choice. She's definitely a great choice. For another top for wife material. This is kind of hard. I didn't have a quick three in my head either, but
I got my second one.
Okay, right.
Riza Hawkeye.
Okay. Good choice. She's good. Best assistant. Yeah, everything.
She's ride or die.
Yeah. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I'm guessing. All right. So Ray, Sam's gonna have one. Ray's gonna have two for this one. All right. Cool.
Yeah. All right, I'll keep with one. Yeah.
All right.
Let's squeeze. One more question in. What are your favorite anime original endings? Which one pissed y'all off the most, be it you or fans or the source material?
What are your favorite anime original endings? I like original endings. I would have, I don't know if Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood is, I don't know if that's from the manga, mm-hmm. but I like that.
It is from the manga.
But I like that story and ending because it's more condensed and it's better story than the original in 2004. I like Fullmetal Brotherhood so much more than the original. So hopefully that answers the question in that good answer.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my answer for that one.
And one that pisses you off?
One that pissed me off? I did not finish Death Note, so that'll be my answer. Because Death Note to me sucks. It's trash. So, you guys know how much I would hate Death Note and how much I would try to put in. But yeah, Death Note, guys.
All right, so my answers are the same as Miguel's, right? So Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, as you guys know, is my favorite anime of all time. And the ending was just perfect for that story. And my most hated anime ending of all time is Death Note. The ending of Death Note is such bullshit that it's hard for me to rewatch the entire series because it's such bullshit.
This is why I love you.
I love you too, bro.
Ray?
Oh, my favorite ending? And this is weird. Like, my favorite ending. So, like, the original ending from the anime from start to finish. And this is, y'all probably have guessed this, maybe, but it'll make sense when I say it. G Gundam.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I kind of figure it was going to be Egg Gundam.
It ends just as ridiculous as it starts. And I love it to death. But one that the ending pissed me off, Bleach, because it didn't end.
Honestly, I thought you were gonna put a joke towards One Piece since it doesn't end. I thought you were gonna go there, but it's more funnier of you saying Bleach
because it's unfinished.
And probably will never be finished.
I know it won't be, and I'm sad about it.
It probably won't. For mine, definitely Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood is definitely the top up there for best original ending. Number two would be like Guru Lagan. That was a great beginning to the end. Fantastic. For the one ending that pissed me off, even though Death Note was kind of bad, but I was really more disappointed with Domestic Girlfriend. Because it failed to compare with the manga.
I agree with there.
Ending.
Now I have to see it.
They skipped so much of it in the ending.
I hate episode 12. If you watch episode 12 of Reaction, we kind of gave a rant at that. Because we were very salty and sour. That's the best explanation to give it.
You know what's the worst thing about having an anime that's just started having... that came from the manga and this is an anime adaptation? You just gave up. Like, they give up their story, and they know for sure they weren't going to get another season, so they just cut, skip, and then boom, hit, give you this kind of ending. I was like, well, I'm really disappointed. Like, this is kind of pissing me off because this is a lot of great story, a great romance story into Domestic Girlfriend, yet they end it like this, like with only a way where they're forcing people to read the manga, but not everybody wants to read. They want to watch.
It makes me want to read it because of how bad the ending was. The ending pissed me off, and I don't really get pissed off a lot. I was tight when they gave so many jump cuts and so many not telling you, oh, we just skipped 2 months from now. I'm like, how would I know that? How do you get explained by the manga reader, Sam, to tell me, oh, they just jump cut 3 months from now? Like, me as an anime watcher, I didn't know that. I'm like, imagine me watching without Sam, I would have known the jump cut.
So, honorable mention for worst anime ending, Seraph of the End.
Really? They did? I'm still reading the manga. I didn't really touch the anime for those.
The manga is so good, but the anime, the ending is just, it's bullshit. It's really? Bullshit.
Even the movies?
I haven't seen the movies, just the series itself.
Okay.
I have the perfect answer for the worst ending.
What is it?
Shaman King.
Really? Oh, right. You're definitely right. And I've read this series, and I love the manga series. But, like...
Anime?
I have not seen Shaman King, so can I really go into that?
You would really like Shaman King, actually. Like, for what it is, you would actually like it.
I grew up with that, like Fox Box.
I love Shaman King. But that... You just made me mad all over again. I'm actually, like, mad right now.
That's how I feel thinking about the end of Death Note. Like, I'm so pissed.
But at least with Shaman King,
more trash of Death Note, talk it.
Honestly, the manga for Shaman King ending was okay. It wasn't like the worst thing that I've seen. At least, and they're continuing this. There's like a continuation for Shaman King, so I'm glad for that. And
I do want to ask one more question before we go, because this kind of brings up a good conversation for things that we haven't watched. So I really want to ask, what do you guys think about what will happen in the resurgence of the Neon Genesis Evangelion popularity once it comes to Netflix in June? Do you believe it will be the same society culture impact as it was back in the early 2000s, and more due to the rise of the whole depression and loneliness in the West? So everyone asked it because I haven't watched Neon Genesis Evangelion. So I want to ask you guys for who has watched it because I'm really clueless about it. I know that like Darling in the Franxx, but Darling in the Franxx kind of copied what it was from that. Mm-hmm. Just change it up. So I want to get into what you guys have seen it.
Don't tell me that.
I don't think the impact is going to be the same because when that came out, it was just so different from everything else. But I do think that the fans will enjoy it, but the same like cultural significance and the popularity, I'm not sure.
Okay.
Agreed. Because like with Neon Genesis Evangelion, it's a very, very popular series, especially back in the 80s, I think, or mm-hmm. 70s or 80s.
80s.
And yeah, thank you. With Neon Genesis, there was like so many movies, and then there's had the anime series, so many memes that went into it. Get in the fucking shit. Get in the fucking robot, Shinji. But yeah, I'm kind of glad that Netflix did buy Neon Genesis.
Which I'm shocked.
Because, like, I forgot who held on to it for so long but did nothing with it. And now all Netflix is just doing is once that contract was expired, they jumped into it and bought Neon Genesis. And they want to touch it. They want to do their own version or rebooted version, which
it will get views.
It will get views.
And I'm watching it that week in it drops because I want to know what's this hype about. Because I heard the next comparison that like Darling in the Franxx and Gundam just better, and that's original. I'm like, okay, so if this is original, I want to see.
I don't know about better, but it's different.
Yeah,
because that's what I heard. The stakes are really high in Neon Genesis Evangelion. Like the stakes are really high, and you feel it. Like that's what I liked about it.
I mean, that's good because that's what some Gundams don't convey well.
Is the
seriousness and the danger of the situation, yeah.
And this will give you that for sure. And
how do you pronounce it correctly? Because you and Sam are pronouncing it two different ways. I'm curious about that.
I pronounce it Neon Genesis Evangelion.
I think that's pronounced correctly. Neon Genesis Evangelion.
Okay.
Evangelion.
Okay, because I want to make sure once I watch it, I could pronounce it correctly because I definitely want to do a review of that show, watching it first blind because I've never seen it. So I can't wait to watch it on Netflix when it drops.
I mean, it beats having it not have a continuation because apparently it didn't have a ending for it, if I'm correct. That series never had a real ending and they're still kind of technically making a new movie for it. I think that's coming out. I'm not sure when, but it is coming out. But it is a good thing that Netflix already has a lot of other animes that they picked up. They actually doing the reboot of Cowboy Bebop, which is not too bad, honestly. I think it's a good risk to go into. So that's fine. They also redid Ultraman into their Netflix. This right now in their Netflix account. And I'm liking where they are interested in anime shows, even if it's like real reboots of it. So
if I have to say, it's definitely Crunchyroll. Verve right down top, Funimation behind it, Amazon, and then Netflix is really climbing up in the whole producing anime stuff. So I'm really happy Netflix is really trying to produce it and put money on it because Netflix is doing good quality. Not always hit, but they're really trying. So I'm really happy for that.
Yeah, agreed. All right, guys. I think that should be it. We want to try to end this right now. Guys, Ray? James, do you have any plugs you want to shout out?
Yeah, so on the road to Avengers Endgame, on my podcast, we reviewed the first Avengers movie, Avengers Age of Ultron, and Avengers Infinity War, all available on all podcast platforms. So if you want to check those out, head over to iTunes, Spotify, and pretty much wherever you listen to podcasts.
Ah, yes.
Right.
Wonderful. Well, it's officially out of the bag now. I'm a full-time Twitch streamer. So you know what? On Twitch, Ray Apollo. That's twitch.tv/RayApollo.
With two L's.
Not the chicken. Yes, two L's, not a chicken. I'll be streaming every day of the week. You can catch my schedule on Twitter. That's where I will update it the most. But we play a little bit of everything. We play anime games, JRPGs, fighting games, shooting, you name it, we try and play it. I mean, minus sports games.
Build a lot of stuff, Rob, right?
Oh my god. No more building. We're no building stream now. All our
stuff will be in the description, so check those out.
Exactly. So check it out there. But no, I'd appreciate that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for the YouTube side, guys, I don't really have to give an outro because you guys know who we are on the YouTube side. So everything in the description of K-Pop with Spoilers for Ray himself, Ray the Game Master, or the Director of Anime, or Rob the Builder, everything will be in the description below. Don't forget to follow them on Twitter, IG, follow us on Twitter, IG, follow us on Twitch too, because we also will be Twitching anime games and anime-related games. Other than that, guys, thank you for us on supporting us, and you will be getting the Patreon and everything like that a day early for the podcast. Thank you very much for watching us. Thank you very much.
Yeah, guys. Thank you, guys. We also have a Patreon, too. Please support us from there as well. And our YouTube channel, we do review videos, live reactions, anything all of anime, manga related. We do it. Check us out. If you like what we see, give us a like on the video. Subscribe to the channel. Comment. Let us know how we're doing. If we're doing good, let us know. Finally, and then turn on that bell notification so that new videos are coming up from our channels. All right, guys. Thank you guys for listening, and I hope you guys have a good day.
Take care.
Peace.